So we're back. You're listening to Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. We've been talking with Alexander Denmarsh about the plans for strip mining and casino and racetrack development in the city of Pittsburgh. You're welcome to call us if you wish at 412-621-9728 or 89728 on campus, or send mail to bob@leftout.info.
So maybe Alexander can just say a few more words, and we'll finish up this topic and move on to the next topic, which is the orgy surrounding Ronald Reagan's death.
Somehow I know they're tied together. I know these. I think what's most important for people to understand is that a lot of progress and impact has been made in the struggle to bring this proposal out into the public eye and to impact the decisions that have been made. There have been concessions made by the developer, and there have been conditions placed by the city due to citizen involvement and participation. And I think that that's something that groups like the Sierra Club and Citizens for Pennsylvania's Future, Group Against Smog and Pollution, or GASP, Clean Water Action, the groups that are involved in this, need people to go to the website and see what's going on and consider membership in their organizations. That's the way that effective activists who can be hired to do this kind of stuff full time, and interns and people that are committed to these causes and to the public trust, really need our help.
So
great. Thanks.
Yeah, our webpage is leftout.info. We'll be putting all of Alexander's links on there from the organizations he mentioned, including Penn Futures, pennfuture.org, and other organizations. So yeah, thanks a lot for
thanks for being on Left Out.
Yeah. Absolutely, really appreciate the time. Thanks for allowing us to come on and bring this issue to light.
Our pleasure. So Danny, I understand that Ronald Reagan is still dead.
Yes. I don't want to beat a dead horse, because he's been being beaten for the entire last week and a half. But the thing was that the first thing that occurred to me when he died was that, well,
hallelujah,
it was going to be a huge big, yeah.
Hallelujah.
It'd be a big deal, but a sad day for America, flags at half mast for a month and all that stuff. This guy, had a long life. He was 90 years old, or 93. This is not something to mourn about, but anyway, that's the small point. The main point to make is that the way that the mainstream media treated his presidency, he was just the myth making was incredible.
Right.
The way in which they ignored the real truth of
so
what he did.
So we can concede at the outset that that at a personal level, he's one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet, according to a hell of a lot of people. So fine, we can accept that. But what's important here is his presidency.
Is what he actually did.
Yeah.
So. I have a couple of excerpts from a program called Counterspin, so we'll play one of the excerpts and then we can talk about that.
Reagan had an incredible talent for sort of declaring the world a certain way, the facts be damned, and then repeating that vision until apparently many people were hypnotized by it. Reagan was relentless in his attack on affirmative action. He early on declared America a colorblind society, sort of declared the playing field leveled, and then went after programs that sought to create real diversity and inclusion in the culture. Reagan appointed 385 federal judges. Of that number, 7 were African American, and the majority were overwhelmingly right wing. He tried to gut the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. He was not supportive of the extension of the Voting Rights Act. He tried to appoint Robert Bork to the U.S. Supreme Court. He wanted to grant tax-exempt status to segregated Bob Jones University. He created the fictitious welfare queen, a non-existent black woman who drove a Cadillac and using multiple identities, lived high off the hog through defrauding welfare, which was an absolute fabrication on his part. He believed in constructive engagement with the apartheid regime in South Africa, which killed thousands of Africans and kept leadership incarcerated for decades. He was a mess in terms of civil rights, and that vision of Reagan, that experience of Reagan, has been largely absent from what we've seen in terms of coverage since his death.
And you could hear some pundits saying things like, well, yes, Reagan was naive on issues of race, as if it were endearing or genteel or something. But that welfare queen imagery in particular is certainly still with us in the media today. So you can't say that this is all just legacy. The Reagan impact in those things is still around.
I mean, I think the manifestation of his beliefs and the outcome was very, was vicious and devastating for many, many people. I think Reagan started a push to the right, laid the groundwork and moved toward the right. And we see the sort of ascendancy of this right-wing ideology and policies in George W. Bush. Reagan made it okay to not care about those who were in need, whether they were African-American women who needed some social support assistance, or gay people suffering from HIV and AIDS. It was okay suddenly in America to no longer care about those who were in need. He created a philosophy in which Americans were encouraged to embrace the survival of the fittest. If you don't make it, it's all your fault philosophy. And I also want to say that I think he, in ways that were often coded but also often not, sent a message about the re-ascendancy of white male heterosexualness. Mm-hmm. Sort of, let's bring back the white guys who built America and were tough, and to hell with Latinas, gays, African Americans, disabled, people who are different in some ways. Let me point out, too, that the people who Reagan was least concerned about are the majority of Americans.
Yes, that was an interview that was done with Jill Nelson by another journalist named Janine Jackson on a show called Counterspin, which you can find on www.fair.org. And also, if you go to our website, you can hear the entire interview. So that was Jill Nelson's kind of making the point about Reagan's his social, his accomplishments in the social, in the domestic social scene.
And his fabulous view of the world, in which anything you make up, Hollywood movie, dim recollections of Hollywood movies and, you know, stories that he just manufactured in his own brain were acceptable forms of political discourse from the President of the United States.
Yeah, and I think that she really hit the nail on the head with this idea that it's okay to not care about anybody. It's just okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And the whole social Darwinism thing. Under Reagan, homelessness increased tremendously. There were hardly any homeless people when he came into office. I wasn't aware of this until I read some of these articles. And then his changes in these programs, HUD, he cut funding for HUD tremendously. And then suddenly this, lo and behold, a huge number of new homeless people appeared on the scene.
And no need to do anything about AIDS. It was God's punishment for being homosexual. I guess God didn't make people homosexual, apparently, according to Ronald Reagan.
Uh-huh.
And also, you know, there was all the business about his, being freedom-loving, champion of freedom around the world. Why don't we ask a few people in Guatemala or El Salvador or Nicaragua or Honduras or Chile or Argentina, for example, about Ronald Reagan's love of freedom.
And then it's really ironic that, all this discussion of Saddam Hussein lately, if you actually look at where he came from, who propped him up, who was funding him against who was funding him when he used the poison gas on the Kurds, the heinous crime that he's being accused of. Plus, he was funding both sides of the Iran-Iraq war. Talk about a criminal thing. A million people died in that war.
In which, in desperation, both sides were resorting to sending waves of children, you'll recall. Waves of children. 10, 11, 12-year-old kids were being sent into battle just basically as cannon fodder to be slaughtered. And it was all at the behest of the Reagan administration. And that great, wonderful patriot, Oliver North, and John Poindexter, who was his henchman working in the White House to circumvent the Constitution deliberately and systematically to trade arms for Iran for money for the Nicaraguan so-called Contras, who are opposing a democratically elected government in Nicaragua. But this is Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, these are all just examples of what a wonderful American hero he is, the John Wayne of American politics, the worst president we've had until George W. Bush.
So I have another...
The first or the second?
W. Bush.
Yeah. Well, I have another... I have another short excerpt we can play by another person named Robert Perry. It's from the same interview on Counterspin. Let's play that one.
One thing that the press has learned at the national level is that if you criticize Republicans and conservatives, you really run the risk of losing your job or your career. It doesn't work the same. It's very much easier to criticize on the liberal side. There is really no one loses their job for that. So that's sort of the phenomenon. I think you saw that played out in capital letters this past week, where everyone was trying to take that tone of reverence, because I think they were desperately afraid that if they showed some skepticism or criticism, they would end up with their email boxes full of angry emails and the phone ringing off the hook at Corporate Central. So I would say it was an awful lot of self-preservation going on among those journalists, and some of them just may not really understand the complexity of the history. They may not know about the Guatemalan genocide, or they may not want to know about it. They may not know about the Contra drug trafficking, or may not want to know about it. So there was a certain amount of selective judgment of history that we saw. The other thing that I've tried to point out in one of my articles was that the whole idea of winning the Cold War is a vast illusion that has been used to justify retrospectively so much bloodshed and so many crimes committed in places like Central America and in Angola and Africa. So you saw a news media trying to pander to this conservative constituency that is both powerful and very willing to make its feelings felt if it's offended at all.
That was Robert Perry being interviewed on the show Counterspin. You can find a link on our website for that as well, the whole interview. I wanted to conclude that excerpt because of this issue of the Cold War, which is widely, proclaimed to be the great accomplishment that that Reagan achieved, and really Robert Perry points out that in fact Reagan actually extended the Cold War by the policies he had. The whole thing was winding down with détente, and then he came along and pretty much revved it up again for another decade. So and with all the consequences that Robert Perry mentioned. Any other comments from about this subject, or?
Well, take a chance to counteract a little bit of the nonsense we've been getting from the Republican right and the Republican media, who are glorifying the memory of Ronald Reagan, and in true Reagan fashion, manufacturing as much as recalling everything that he supposedly did that was so wonderful for the U.S. and for the world.
Apparently, they're trying to. There's an organization trying to create some sort of memorial or street named after him, or something named after Reagan in every county in the country.
No, really, and no doubt they will. I've heard many stories about that. Let us not forget, by the way, that the Taliban in Afghanistan, who are Ronald Reagan's Afghan freedom fighters, who are equivalent to the American Revolutionary Army in the War of Independence Taliban, who are Ronald Reagan's Afghan freedom fighters, and on and on and on. Well, I think many of our listeners know the full story, but I wanted to take the opportunity to bring it out. If you'd wish, you can call us at 412-621-9728. It's 89728 on campus, or send mail bob@leftout.info. Let's take a brief break, and then we'll be back and talk about a new book by Thomas Frank.
Thanks.